just so you know, we're using a little device here that's not really intended for this purpose, but we've adapted it, and it seems to work at least well enough for today. If this is working, and we have plans, if it looks like we're going to be doing this more throughout the summer, we're looking at getting some upgraded equipment that will give us a real good signal throughout the lot. So just to know that if you need to use the restroom, the door to the downstairs kitchen area is unlocked, so please use that one. There's hand sanitizer you can use on your way in and out, and that's available for you. But we ask that you don't go elsewhere in the church. We're just trying to keep the need for having to go through and sanitize everything down to a minimum. But that area has been sanitized for your protection. If you wish, you're free to get out of your vehicles and have a seat on the grass. I have a few extra lawn chairs here. I got a few more that aren't set up. If you'd like to use those during the service, feel free to do that. As you leave, we'll have a box that's on the table where you entered the parking area. If you brought offering today, you can just drop that in the box if you wish. You can still send it through the mail or online, as that's been the case in the past weeks. That you can continue to do that if you wish. Want to introduce my daughter, Hannah Jewell, who's helping us with keyboard and worship today, and we're very thankful for her help. She's been asked to be a sponsor for a baptism that's happening in Bismarck, North Dakota early this afternoon, so as soon as she's done playing, she's going to exit for that service. But thank you, Hannah, for being here to help us with worship today. Some of you have heard that Neva is having her first knee surgery on June 10th, so please keep Neva in prayer for her surgery and then also for her needs and recovery following that. She'll be at home. She won't be in a swing bed or short stay. She'll be at home, and so I know there's some of you already that are kind of lined up to help her out with things following her surgery, but let her know if there's something you can do to help or just keep her in prayer. And she'd appreciate that. There's over Memorial Weekend, I think it's the American Legion had placed flags on the graves of our servicemen and buried here, and then they removed them following Memorial Weekend. But in the process, there was a little confusion, and four little flags that were placed here by someone else. Family members or whoever, those got pulled out as well, and they're, Hannah, can you hand that to me here? So here they are. They were given to me while we were out here practicing with the apologies of the person who was collecting the flags that were placed here by others. So anyway, if you know of someone who's missing a flag on their loved one's grave, they're right here, and you can find it and replace it. I relay the apologies of those who mistakenly removed those. They thought they were down in that area of the cemetery. So if you know of someone who's got a flag down there, you hear about that, and they're wondering what happened to the flag, they're right here. We'll leave them inside so they're not blown away, but just have them contact one of the church officers or myself, and we'll get that straightened out. Okay. Next week, our plan is to do another drive-in service like this, and also with the addition of Holy Communion. It's been a long time, and we're looking forward to coming together to share the Lord's Supper together again. We have a special individually packaged communion servings. The wafer and the cup are all individually packaged, so they'll be very sanitary, and we'll take precautions as distributing them. We'll distribute right to your car. If you're in your car on the grass if you're sitting outside. So next week, feel free to bring lawn chairs or blankets if you want to be outside. Just be spaced apart from households, between each other, having space between households as you sit out here. And we'll have Holy Communion offered next week, Lord willing, and the weather stays good. And please note, with our system here of having the car broadcast through your radios, you know, if it's going to be a little bit chilly or a little misty or drizzly or whatever, we'll still plan to have worship. You can be inside and warm and dry, and we'll just back inside the doors here undercover, and we'll proceed. Anything short of a violent thunderstorm, we'll just plan to go ahead with the service, so just know that. Boy, we got about 2 months worth of announcements that have been piling up, but some of those will just have to wait. So we'll, I think at this point, conclude the announcements, unless I see Pastor Matt and Pastor Giovanni. Anything else I'm forgetting? We're good. Okay. Let's then begin our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our call to worship from Psalms 25, verses 1 through 15. I read in Jesus' name. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame. But shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior. And my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways they should choose. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. Let us pray. Lord, it's good to hear that bell ring again. Thank you for giving us this day and this opportunity to gather here outside in this beautiful place you've created and have loaned to us as a congregation as our place of meeting. Lord, we thank you and praise you this day. We pray you would draw our hearts toward you in praise and worship. Lord, even as the world around us seems to be coming apart at the seams, Lord, we know that in you, in Christ, all things are held together according to your will and purpose. So, Lord, let us worship you, and let us thank you from our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to turn to your song sheets and sing with us all creatures of our God and King.
Creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Oh, praise Him, alleluia. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam. So strong, ye clouds that sail in heaven along, oh, praise Him, alleluia. Thou rising moon in praise rejoice, ye lights of evening find a voice, oh, praise Him. Their Creator bless and worship Him in humbleness. Oh, praise Him, alleluia. Praise, praise the Father, praise the Son, and praise the Spirit, three in one.
Before the throne of God above,
strong and perfect thee, a great priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands, my name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. No tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there, who made an end of all sin. Because a sinless Savior died, whose sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. To look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. Born with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood, my life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God. With Christ my Savior and my God.
One with himself.
One with himself he cannot die. My soul is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high. With Christ my Savior and my God. With Christ my Savior and my God.
Jesus paid it all. Let's sing it.
Strength indeed is small.
Oops, wrong tune. Let's try that again.
Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. Crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Jean had left a crimson stain. and stain. He washed it white as snow.
Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you today, again giving you thanks and praise for who you are and for what you have done for us in Christ Jesus. Father, we come today also with heavy hearts as we see violence and unrest erupt around our state, around our nation. Father, we pray for the family and loved ones of George Floyd and the tragic circumstance of his death. Lord, we pray for peace. We pray for justice. We pray for protection, Lord, of everyone. We think also, Lord, of many law enforcement officers who do their job well and faithfully and face a difficult job, which has been made even more difficult now because of the actions of one. Lord, these things are far beyond us, but they're not beyond you. We pray, Lord, your church would be a beacon of light in the midst of dark times such as this. We pray, Lord, also for all those who continue to bear the weight of responsibility for making decisions which affect many. We think of our governor, president, and all those in elected and appointed positions of authority. Lord, grant them wisdom and grant us as a nation, Lord, good judgment, good sense, patience, love, all that is needed, Lord, in such times. We pray for many, Lord, who've been affected by the COVID-19 virus and the responses to it. We think, Lord, of those who've lost loved ones, those who are ill now, those who are fighting for their lives, those who are treating them. And Lord, those who lost their livelihood and are trying to figure out what next and what now. Lord, we pray that you would help each of us in whatever way we can to show love to our neighbor, Lord, in tangible ways. And Lord, for those of us, among us who are feeling the impact and wondering what to do, Lord, help us to trust in you and look to you for good. Lord, we pray for those who've lost loved ones to other causes. We remember Faye and her family at the passing of Justin and all who mourn. Lord, may you grant them your peace, your comfort, and Lord, ultimately, the hope of the resurrection. Lord, we pray for the leaders in the country of Chad who face a difficult situation in government with unrest and corruption and other struggles. Lord, we pray for good in that country and for your church, for our brothers and sisters there, to know your provision, your peace. And we also ask, Lord, that you would make the way forward clear for civic and church leaders alike and the struggles they face there. We pray for our brothers and sisters across the world who suffer persecution for the sake of your name, whose plights have been made even more difficult in these past weeks and months. May you be their hope, and may their oppressors, Lord, be impressed by their witness, their testimony, that they too might be set free to be followers of you and willing to suffer for your name. Lord, we pray for everyone according to their needs. We think of Neva with her upcoming surgery. We pray, Lord, it would go well. We think of Joanne and her battle with cancer, Lord. Give her help and health and strength and healing. And for all the unnamed, Lord, that we bring before you in our hearts, grant them your strength and hope and all they need. Lord, we lift up these things. We entrust them to you because you are the God who cares and answers according to your holy will. So we pray these in Jesus' name, our Lord Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Father, too, we pray your blessing on the preaching of your word, and Pastor Matt, as he brings it to us today. Lord, give us ears to hear and hearts to believe. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, Mr. Bunger. It's good to be with you in this way. I see y'all dressed in your Sunday best. I see a Lincoln. Ooh, designer Ford. Oh, Faye, you wearing Jeep today? Wow, good job. I also see that you guys are laughing quite a bit with the jokes. My goodness. We have to develop some sort of a feedback system. So, like, if you want to laugh instead of smiling really loudly, like Norwegians usually do when they laugh really loudly, you can flash your lights. Don't do that. But if I do preach heresy, you can honk your horn a little bit, and hopefully there isn't too many honkings going on today. But anyways, it's good to be here. I am going to have to get used to preaching in real pants now. I've been wearing sweatpants the last 2 months, and this is going to be tough. But I guess, for the sake of the gospel, I can wear pants. So, just so you know, I'm struggling with this. Wearing a belt, this is tough stuff, guys. But anyways, our passage today comes from Numbers chapter 11, verses 24 through 30. It's this curious passage that comes as the Israelites are walking around through the desert. And this is it comes when they're getting tired of eating manna, this gift of God, this wonder bread from God, the holy donut, you could call it. And they're getting tired of eating donuts during this time, and they want some meat. And they complain to God, God, he was so good when we were in Egypt. We had leeks and all sorts of good things, garlic and bread and all this stuff, fresh vegetables, and now all we have is this manna. And they're complaining to God, and they're essentially saying, God, you haven't been good enough. You haven't been a good enough God for us. And then this passage comes, and then right after this passage, God punishes them for their unbelief. So this is situated within an episode of unbelief and punishment for unbelief. And you may be wondering, why are we talking about this passage on Pentecost Sunday? Well, the reason why is because it comes up in our lectionary in our for Pentecost Sunday that we're going through, and it's also very fitting for Pentecost. It kind of prefigures Pentecost. And so before we read it, I invite you to turn in your Bibles, if you got them, or on your phones or whatever, into Numbers 11, verse 24 through 30. That's Numbers chapter 11, verse 24 through 30. Let's read it now. So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. he brought together 70 of their elders and had them stand around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with him. And he took some of the power of the Spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. When the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but did not do so again. However, two men, whose names were Eldad and Medad, had remained in the camp. They were listening among the elders, but did not go out to the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said, "Moses, my lord, stop them." But Moses replied, "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them." Then Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to hear your word read and to now discuss it together. Lord, we ask that you would penetrate our hearts that constantly turn away from you, that constantly rebel from you. We ask that your Spirit would work in our hearts again today. In your name we pray. Amen. So our passage today, it begins with Moses and the 70 elders of Israel gathering around the tent of meeting. And the Lord descends upon them in a cloud, and he took some of the Spirit that was on Moses, and he distributed it to the elders that were gathered around there. And then they began to prophesy. Now, when God did this, it wasn't like God removed some of the power that was on Moses, that he had given to Moses, like someone takes water out of a bucket and pours it into a glass, and then you're left with less water. But rather, it's more like fire. It's more about the Spirit spreading to others, rather than about Moses' role being diminished or his power that he had been given being diminished. It's more like that. Moses needed this to happen because he was getting burnt out on leading. He was leading too many people, and there wasn't enough other people to help him. And so what God did is he empowered and authorized these elders for the role of leading and judging the people of Israel. And the fact that they were authorized for this is evidenced by the fact that they began to prophesy after they received the power of the Holy Spirit. And now prophecy generally shows up in the Bible in one of three ways. The first and most general sense is that of foretelling. So God says this about that. Okay. The second, more exotic sense is what typically comes to mind when you hear the word prophecy, and it's that of foretelling. So God says this will happen in the future. The third sense, which possibly is what is happening here, is that of an ecstatic speaking, like the speaking of tongues that happened at Pentecost, where God actually controls the speaker for a time for the sake of demonstrating his power and his authority, for authenticating the message. And we can't really say for sure what form of prophecy is happening right here. We can't really tell that for sure, but what we can say for sure is that God is showing that these elders who have received the Holy Spirit are authorized by God to be speakers for the people, to be leaders for the people. But as our text says, this didn't just happen with the 70 who were with Moses around the tent of meeting. Two others, Eldad and Medad, which, can we thank God for giving us names like that in the Bible? You know, Eldad and Medad, they're hanging out with each other. My guess is, you know, they were born Eldad and Medad, the first children that were born dads. And I bet you they were just buds. They were telling each other, "You know what, guys? Well, you know what, Eldad?" Medad says, "We're going to be dads one day. You can count on it. We already are!" You know, these guys. But anyway, so Eldad and Medad, for some reason, they're not with Moses, but they receive the Spirit, and they began to prophesy. And then this leads us to the critical juncture of our text. Upon hearing about these other two guys who had received the Spirit while away from Moses in the tent of meeting, Joshua, who comes up a lot more later, in the book, and then also in the book of Joshua. Joshua gets worried. You know, Joshua, he'd been following Moses since he was young, and he was very devoted to him. And so now that there are people who are speaking on behalf of the Lord and who received the power of the Spirit while they weren't with Moses, you know, Joshua feels like Moses' authority might be getting diminished. And so he's worried. And he says to Moses, "Moses, my Lord, stop them." But what Moses doesn't understand is that Moses' leadership was never about propping Moses up as the guy, about being the leader. It was always and only about bringing God's people under God's leadership. That's what Moses' role was all about. On his own, Moses was getting worn out. He couldn't do his job anymore, and he needed others to step up and to also speak God's truth to his people. He didn't just need one voice speaking God's truth. He needed a lot of people speaking God's truth. And this explains Moses' response. Moses said to him, "Joshua, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them." You know, Moses doesn't want to be the star of the show. He never wanted to be a leader in the first place, mostly because he lacked faith that God could actually use him. But here, Moses isn't reverting to that state of no faith. He isn't doing that at all. Instead, what's happening here is he's telling us something about God's desire for his people. You know, it's important to note here that Moses isn't trying to stop being a leader. He isn't trying to stop being God's prophet to Israel. Nor is he, you know, trying to, you know, hope for anarchy where everyone can follow their own leader. He isn't advocating for that. He isn't pushing for what we experience today so often in this radically postmodern world, where everyone functions as their own judge and where no one can speak against what another person believes is right. He isn't trying to get people to listen to some still small voice in their head for guidance and call it the Spirit of God, which is, by the way, it seems what so much popular Christian teaching is advocating today. He isn't advocating for that at all. Instead, he's saying that he wishes that everyone had God's Spirit on them so that they could believe and speak the words that God has given to them to speak. Let me repeat that. He wants everyone to have God's Spirit on them so that they can speak the words that God has given them to speak. And that reality is what we're celebrating today at Pentecost. We are celebrating the fact that God has indeed poured out his Holy Spirit upon every member of his church. And he has given them his very words so that they can believe them and they can speak them to the world. You know, the Holy Spirit, through the prophet Joel, once said that God would pour out his Spirit on all people. And he said, "Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said." This desire of Moses and this prophecy of Joel was fulfilled at Pentecost. Nearly 2,000 years ago, when the young church was gathered together in Jerusalem, about 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead, the Holy Spirit suddenly came upon the believers with a mighty rushing wind, and with what seemed to be tongues of fire rested on them. And all of them began to speak. Well, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. And from that day forward, even to this present day, the Lord's people have been speaking the words that God has given them to speak through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Started at Pentecost, and it's been continuing on to this day. You know, today, as a church, we aren't limited to a single person who gives us the word of God so that we might hear it. You know, the office of pastor, this is a gift of God to have someone who consistently brings you the word of God. But church, you know, you don't really need a pastor per se to tell you the word of God. You don't need a pope, a church council, or even an individual church. You don't need it in that sense. God has poured his spirit out upon you and has given you those words through the Bible. Now, I'm not saying, you know, let's throw off pastors. I'm a pastor. I need employment. That's not why I'm saying it. The reason why is because God has given us people who will spend their time studying God's word each week so that they can bring it to you in a faithful way, in a way that interacts with your culture. It doesn't mean that we don't need churches or that we don't need church councils or creeds, confessions. It doesn't mean any of that. Instead, what it means is that God has made you, through the Holy Spirit, capable of receiving his word. He has opened your ears to hear his word. That's what the Holy Spirit has done. Holy Spirit has given you the ability to hear God through his word. That is an incredible gift. You know, many of you should mention this because it's just so cute. You know, you aren't even limited from hearing God's word from your leaders or your parents. Many of you, if you have children, you have actually heard the word of the Lord through your children. It's kind of fun. Each night we sing at bedtime with Thor, and we have like five songs we sing, and you don't forget a song because then this is not good, and he ain't going to bed very early. But anyways, we sing a song, and one of them is "God is so good." And let me tell you, folks, it's really awesome to have my little 3-year-old son function as a prophet to me when he tells me that God is so good. And I function as a prophet and tell it right back to him. You know, that's a gift that even from the mouths of little babies, little infants, we get to hear God's word. That's what the Spirit is doing in actually forming us to be a prophetic people. Today, if you are a believer, because of Pentecost, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. And he is speaking his truth to you through the word so that you might speak it to others. He has given it to you so that you might do something with it. And yet, we are also, and we need to address this, we are also living in a state of tension in this life as Christians, aren't we? You know, one person says that God says this, and while another person says that God says that. One person says that baptism is merely an outward symbol of an inward reality, while another person says that baptism is a gift of God that he uses to bring his grace into your life. One person believes that the church needs to be super involved in politics. Another person believes that the church should have nothing to do with politics. If you throw any issue out there that we're facing today, you are guaranteed to find at least two Christians who come to very different conclusions, and they believe that God is leading them to come to those conclusions. They say, the Spirit, God is telling me this. And another person says, God's telling me this. So how do you judge? How do you tell whether or not God is actually speaking to you, or if it's just, you know, your own internal desires? Where do you go with that? Well, what we are called to is to live a Pentecost-inspired lifestyle by getting back to the God-spirited word, the Bible. You know, the Apostle Paul, he once wrote his Padawan Timothy, "From infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." All Scripture is God-breathed, God-spirited. It's from the Spirit of God. And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And today, church, you have these Holy Scriptures. You have them today. You have these God-breathed, these words from the Spirit of God. you have been given the very words of God for you today. And so to live in light of Pentecost is to live by receiving God's word. It means that we don't come to Scripture with our own agenda, but that we listen to God's agenda for us. It means that we don't stand over the Word of God, but that we sit under it. It means that we search the Scriptures for the treasures that God has deposited in every page, and that we don't claim the authority of God on matters that are not answered in Scripture. It means that we don't presume to be God's voice, but rather that we seek to be a representative of God. It also means that what God has said in His Word, that we say what God has said in His Word, and that we don't say what He has told us not to say in His Word. It means that we're called to be courageous, even when it hurts, that we stand up for justice, even when it's not convenient. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, we need to be woke, that we need to know everything about everything, and that we need to have an opinion on everything, and that, you know, we need to really speak to all the matters that are complex in society. It doesn't mean that. You know, it's okay to let other people be smarter than you on certain issues. It's okay for them to speak and you to listen. It doesn't mean that we need to be outraged about everything. But in those times when it is appropriate for you to speak and God has given you something to say, you are called to share it. And there is no more important thing for you to share than the hope that you have in Christ. And you have been given those words to share with your neighbors, with your family. You're called to be courageous with this word of truth that God has given you. Now, I recognize that millions of Christians throughout history have tried to do what I'm suggesting here, and they've still come to minor disagreements. But I'll tell you that the majority of the disgusting divisions in our church, you know, they are resolved when we commit to being students of the Spirit who speaks to us through the Word. The majority of those things are resolved. Now, we have to remember that our sinful nature is going to cloud our judgments. That's just a reality this side of life. And we can put in place certain practices to mitigate the effects of our sinful nature, such as listening to wise teachers who are well-versed in Scripture, listening to the wisdom of those who have died long before you and who have considered way more than you. Those are wise practices that keep you from error. Keep you from hearing your own voice and attributing it to God. But ultimately, we are fallen creatures who are living in a continuous state of rebellion against God. It's the reality of life, and that's why we continually seek to be students of the Word rather than being known as an expert on the Word. We continually seek to be students. We need that continual change of posture. The continual change of posture that says, Lord, give me your Spirit so that I might share the words which you have given me. The continual posture change is what we need. One day, however, we won't have that battle. One day what happened at Pentecost, what was prophesied of, were desired of by Moses, prophesied of in Joel, and then fulfilled in part at Pentecost, one day that will be completely fulfilled. You know, the Holy Spirit, it's been spreading like a fire from Moses to the elders, and then from Jesus to his disciples at the ascension, after the resurrection, when he is sitting with the disciples that Easter Sunday, and then the Sunday after when he breathes on them, and then now at Pentecost, it's been spreading like a fire from person to person, but it's continuing to do that today as person to person shares the Holy Spirit through the hearing of the Word of God. It is spreading until it reaches everyone that to whom that it is going to go to. But it's not only spreading from person to person, it's also spreading deeper and deeper. As the Holy Spirit does his sanctifying work in us, as we hear the Word of God, and he changes us through that Word. One day, that work is going to be completely fulfilled. The Holy Spirit spoke through the prophet Jeremiah when he said, "This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel, declares the Lord. I will put my law, my Torah," think law and gospel, "my word, I will put in their minds, and I'll write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their sins, I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more." One day, when God completes his work in you at your death and resurrection, there will no longer be a need for pastors, for teachers, for denominations, for church councils, or even for the published Bible. One day, the voice of God's Spirit will not be drowned out by your own sinful nature, and you'll be able to hear him clearly. One day, we'll no longer get hung up with our own personal egos, and we'll be completely infatuated with God and with what he has done for us. One day, we'll no longer doubt God's promise of eternal life to us, and we'll confidently praise God for the forgiveness that he has given us through Jesus Christ. And so now, as we close, think back to our passage and hear again Moses' desire. "I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them." Today, if you are in Christ, you can know that you have God's Spirit upon you. And you can know that he has given you powerful words to believe in, and powerful words to speak. And until that day comes at our resurrection, when God's work of perfecting us is absolutely complete, until that day comes, we are called to be a prophetic people that bring his words to a world that desperately needs to hear them, to receive them, and through them, to receive the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the words that you have given us. Lord, we thank you for filling us with the Holy Spirit, and that as we hear and read these God-spirited words, that you do your work in us. Thank you that we don't have to rely on our own opinions, but that we can rely on what you have given us in your word. And those words are those that promise us eternal life. And so we thank you for that today. And we ask that you would give us courage to share those words in our world today. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Matt. Before we close the service, just a couple of announcements and reminders. Tony, I'm wondering if you could help Pastor Giovanni with the table, getting that situated before people exit. And as you exit the box on the table, there is ready for any offering that you might have brought with you today. If you wish to visit with someone, out in the lawn here in the parking lot, you're free to do so. Just encourage you to maintain your distance, save the bear hugs and kisses for maybe a later time. But feel free to say hello to one another outside of your cars if you wish, and just keep the recommended space between yourselves. And again, next week, a Holy Communion service is planned here. So 9:30 next week again, and bring something to sit outside if you wish. Well, those are the announcements we have. Please now receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
All the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice.